Hey there, and welcome into another edition of the In Layman's Terms podcast. I'm News Channel 5 sports anchor and Belmont play-by-play announcer for the men's basketball team, Steve Layman. And we've got a fun episode in store today. For anybody who's been around watching Belmont basketball for any length of time, you know all about the championship success. And first the Atlantic Sun, then the OVC, and now moving in to the Missouri Valley Conference. You know about 805 wins with Coach Bird. You know about the NCAA tournament appearances that have continued on now with Casey Alexander and the team that should have gotten there in 2020. And you probably remember some great games along the way, some of the memorable shots. And today we chat with one of the guys who is the author of one of the most memorable shots in Belmont basketball history, and that would be Taylor Barnett. You take it back to the 2015 OVC championship game and his shot to beat Murray State. It's one of the things that I remember most about Belmont basketball, frankly. And it was just a shot that Belmont fans and championship week fans in basketball will remember for a really, really long time. Today we chat with Taylor about that shot, how it came about, that game in its entirety, which was really, really special. And we go into a whole bunch of other things. His journey from Lexington, Kentucky to Charlottesville, Virginia, ultimately Nashville for college. What it was like to play for two coaching legends in Rick Bird and Tony Bennett. The present state of college basketball. And transitioning then from a coach after being a player, how he nearly became a part of Steve Prohm's basketball staff at Murray State, and what got him to come back to Belmont and Nashville this past year. His current role off the court, out of basketball altogether as a profession, but also in the role of ministry that is so near and dear to his heart. He shares his faith with current student athletes, and he shares it with us in this podcast as well. So I hope you sit back and enjoy this conversation. Make sure you like and subscribe so you get notifications about any future podcasts and go back and listen to some of the old ones as well. We just had a good one with Bart Brooks. We chatted with Coach Rick Bird earlier in the year. Of course, Jim Nance in there as well. Drew Hanlon, another former Belmont player. There's so many good episodes out there, and I think this is another one. So sit back, relax, and enjoy our conversation with Taylor Barnett.
Well, I would love to welcome into the program the one and only Taylor Barnett. Taylor, thanks for coming on, first of all. How you doing? How are you enjoying springtime right now?
Man, thanks for having me on. I'm glad to be here. I'm enjoying this warm weather, man. We got some early spring in February. It's 80 or 85 yesterday, sunshine, so I can't complain. It brightens my mood for sure.
I tell you what, springtime is one of my favorite times of the year, and it like coincides with the NCAA tournament because I grew up in the Midwest. So like winter is a real thing. It's way more severe than it is here in Nashville and Tennessee. And there was something about like that first weekend of the NCAA tournament. It usually started to get a little bit warmer outside, and there I'm talking like 50 or 55 or something like that. And you got the best basketball. To me, that was just awesome. So I'm a big fan of spring.
That's awesome. Where did you grow up in the Midwest?
I grew up in Champaign, Illinois, where the University of Illinois is. So that's where I grew up. Not super far north, but.
Did you go to school there?
I did, yeah.
Very cool. So learn something every day, man.
So that's how it all started for me. I want to know from you, though, and we'll get into all this a little bit later, but how often do people bring up the shot to you?
It comes up from time to time, you know, which is fun. I think it's a good memory. I mean, it's not like it was some national major thing that people see my face like, oh, that's the guy that hit the shot. But no, just when I see Belmont folks, like either teammates, parents, or, you know, somebody that really loves Belmont, it's definitely a fun memory that I have to cherish with those folks.
So for me, this is a little bit of how I fell in love with Belmont, and I fall more and more in love every day when I'm around and doing this role. But Belmont was one of the first things I saw when I got to Nashville 12 years ago, because that was the team that went 31-5 or whatever for Coach Bird. They were so good. And then immediately you're transitioning into the OVC and people were like, oh, can this program continue any level of success? in that league after leaving the A-Sun. And of course they do, and they win in the first year, and Karan hits the shot in overtime. And it's like, man, this story just gets better and better from like great team going to the tournament, winning in this league and beating Murray State. And then there's that 2015 game, which to me is one of the best games I've ever seen at any level. Just the shot making on both ends, back and forth. And then you hit that shot. And so to me, like, you're such a huge part of my association with Belmont and that program being the program that just could, that just finds a way to do it. It's so special to me.
That's cool, man. I appreciate you sharing that. And honestly, I agree with you. That game is the most fun game of basketball I have ever been a part of. I mean, that shot was just a tiny piece. I mean, you're right. It was back and forth. I mean, Campaign was drilling threes, Reese Chamberlain. I mean, Craig was going crazy. Just an awesome basketball game. I'm glad I got to be a part of it.
I tell you who does not think it was an awesome basketball game is Steve Prohm, because you guys ruined what was a special season for them. But it was amazing. I mean, they had great players. I mean, I remember Nick Smith hitting big shots and Craig Bradshaw hitting big shots. And then obviously yours again. Before your shot, what's the thing that stands out to you about that game?
Man, just the fact that it was so back and forth, and that team, I mean, Murray State was really good. They were ranked 25th in the country, and it's crazy to look back and think that they went to the NIT ranked 25th in the country. Obviously, that was for the net rankings. I have no clue what they would have been ranked in the net rankings then. But just the fact that we were such an underdog going into that game, and then just the fast pace. I mean, I think the final score was like high 80s, which is just, you know, it's a fun game in regulation. And what's funny, a lot of people don't know about that game. This is probably the thing that strikes me first, is that Coach Bird at halftime of that game walks in, and the only thing that he says to us is, "You guys just can't guard them," and then walks out. We were like, what the heck, man? Like, this is the championship game. That's all you got for us? Like, you don't believe in us to do this? And then Coach Ayers gives like this movie-like halftime speech, rallies the troops, fires us up, and we go out there in the second half and we win the game. So a lot of us on that team have a running joke. It was all Coach Ayers' halftime speech.
What did he say to follow up Coach Bird in that moment?
Quite honestly, I don't even remember exact words, but there was enthusiasm and passion and just a belief. And it was the best bad cop, good cop combo right there, 1-2 punch between Coach Bird. Because at the same time, Coach Bird telling us that we couldn't guard him, you know, fired us up as well. So it was great.
The crazy backstory to that too is, it was such an up and down season overall. And I mean, I remember like Jacksonville State gave you guys everything you could handle that season. And at one point, I think you were like just above 500 in conference play. At what point did you realize that, like, okay, we can put this all thing together and we could actually make a run?
Yeah, I think we knew it from the beginning of the season. It just was a matter of doing it, right? Everything clicking. And thankfully, come tournament time, it did. And, you know, it just goes to show how hard it is to make the NCAA tournament as a mid-major team in a wooden bid league. Because there was multiple years where we won the regular season and got upset in the tournament. This year, particularly in 2015, Murray State won by a landslide the regular season, and they go to the NIT. So I just think, like, we always believed that we could do it. It was just a matter of getting it done.
And you guys got it done by winning at the gun in the semifinals too. That Eastern Kentucky game, people forget about it because the championship game was so special. But that Friday night game, and I said this for a long time, because of the double bye, a lot of times the way that league was set up, the Friday night game, were incredible basketball, because you had the top two teams against the next two best teams. It was just two games of great, great basketball, and that certainly was one of them.
No doubt. That EKU game was special. It was a lot of fun to play in as well. And I think that in some ways, not getting that double bye. I remember we played Eastern Illinois in the first round, or our first game, I should say, down there in Municipal. And I think that helped us. You know, we got a good feel for the arena. There was probably nobody at that game. And then so we got a game in Thursday, and then we got another game in Friday. And by Saturday, I think we felt really comfortable playing in that arena and just the feel of it. So it definitely helps, I think, a little bit to have an extra game. I think it gives a little bit of an edge.
Well, it certainly didn't hurt you guys in that particular weekend. Back to the Murray State game and the back and forth, even in the final minute. Campaign hit a couple of free throws there. You guys got a steal down the stretch. I mean, the frenetic pace in that atmosphere with the Murray crowd, and you had the hometown crowd. Like, what was it like being on the floor there in the final minute of what was the best game of championship week to go to the NCAA tournament and realize a dream?
It was incredible. I mean, our fans showed out. I don't know if the game was technically sold out, but it sure felt like it. You know, Murray State has always traveled really well to the OVC tournament. And our fans obviously is right here in Nashville, which, you know, we had a great just sea of red over there is what it felt like. And man, honestly, the last couple of minutes, I had like the worst turnover in the history of basketball. It felt like, looked like a ghost came and back tipped the ball from me and Campaign and came down and hit a three. And then he made two more free throws and took the lead. And I'm looking over at Reese Chamberlain. I had said, man, I'm so sorry. Like, I blew this for us. He was like, man, it's all good. We're still going to win the game. And just having teammates like that, you know, it was his senior year. And I was like, just felt guilty because it was just a terrible turnover. And obviously, he was right. You know, I got a second chance, and I'm thankful for that.
So when you get the ball back, there's only a few seconds remaining. Timeout is called. Was the play originally designed for you, or like what's going on in that timeout?
So it's funny. We were down two, and Craig, I think, had like 30 that game. Like, he was balling. And the play was originally a clear-out play for him to drive right and either make a layup or get fouled and go to the free throw line and hopefully send the game into overtime. And when we got out, I think I was taking the ball out of bounds, and the official blew the whistle, and they sent us back to our bench because there was some malfunction with the clock or something. So Coach Bird just kind of was like, hey, we're switching it up, because they had seen how we were lined up. And stack for three is a play that we ran quite a bit, but we usually ran it for our four men, like Nick Smith. And this time we were running it for me. And so I'll never forget Reese coming off, Nick setting the down screen, me coming off and getting the opportunity to take that shot. And I'm thankful that it went in.
Well, when they set you up for it, you got a good look, but it wasn't like you were completely wide open by any means. They guarded it fairly well. When you're catching that ball, is it just reflex at that moment, or what's going through your mind?
Yeah, you know, honestly, I think players tend to be better at making shots when they have less time to think about the shot itself.
Yeah.
You know, you put in so much work and effort and energy and practice that it's like riding a bike, you know. You catch and you shoot, and it's what you've done for so long, and you just have to trust what the work that you've put in and all the repetition that you've put in. So I remember walking off the bench thinking in my head, I just said, Lord, would you help me hit this shot? So you just catch and shoot, and honestly, you have no time to think about it, which I think is better in those situations.
And when it goes through the net, any better feeling in the world than that?
Oh man, it's a great feeling. I just was like, did that just happen? You know, it's surreal.
That's awesome. So have you ever hit a game winner or like a buzzer beater before at any level before that?
I think I had a couple in high school. I can't remember specifically, but I mean, none have ever lived up to that one. You know, I mean, that was just obviously an amazing moment for me personally, but just, it's really about the team and our program at Belmont. And it was just a memorable moment.
I mean, that's the dream, right? Like you grow up in the driveway or in the backyard with your buddies and you count down 3, 2, and, you know, and you launch it, and it's to win and go to the NCAA tournament or to win the national championship. Those are kind of like the two dreams, and you got to live one of them out.
Yeah, I'm super thankful that happened. I mean, it's a great memory. I mean, my parents were there, my sister was there. I mean, it's a fun memory for sure. And my friends joke the shot. You know, they joke around with me about it and give me a hard time. And it's an awesome memory. I'm grateful that Coach Bird trusted me and believed in me to make that shot and just to take it. He didn't know for sure I was going to make it, but he trusted me to take it, and I'm grateful for that.
The shot is one part of the dream. The other part is to play in the NCAA tournament. Every kid wants to do that. He goes and plays college basketball. And one of the unique things about being a mid-major or being in the OVC at the time is that's the first bid handed out.
Yep.
And you get over a week to sort of relish in that moment before you even see your name pop up on the bracket and find out where you're going and who you're playing. What was the experience like from the buzz, from the shot, all the way through that moment when you finally heard Greg Gumbel announce your name, that Belmont's in the tournament?
Yeah. Man, I think I remember having like 300 text messages after the game and probably getting about 2 hours of sleep that night because just so much adrenaline, my mind was going crazy. And it was actually spring break. That was always when we were at Belmont, every year we had the OVC tournament, the following days afterwards were spring break. So coach always let us go home for a couple of days or give us a couple of days off. So I remember I went to Lexington and hung out with my folks and just relaxed for a couple of days. And then obviously we came back and we had practice Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday. And then, you know, we went to the Beeman and had a watch party. But I mean, it was so cool. I mean, you're sitting there, it's funny watching the show now because you see high majors, they show them on camera and they're just all like, oh, cool, great. But you know, for a mid-major, you know how much it takes to get there. And so when they called our name, I mean, we just jumped up and it's just really exciting. There really is nothing better in college basketball than seeing your name pop up in that bracket and playing in the NCAA tournament.
And Taylor, you know, the running joke out there is the NCAA selection committee has a sense of humor, and they always find, you know, juicy, intriguing first round matchups to give to people. So obviously it was just the natural thing to the Taylor Barnett versus Virginia rivalry only made sense, right?
Yeah, that was funny. It was weird. You know, obviously I transferred in from Virginia and yeah, you know, it popped up Virginia and like I immediately get my roommate from freshman year text me. He's like, you got to be kidding me, you know, and it was like, yeah, here I go. We're going to play against my best friends from my freshman year at college and obviously an amazing program in Virginia and what Coach Bennett has done there and great players, great coaching, just a good sound program that does it the right way, which is cool. I think it was two programs that are a lot alike, not in style of play, no, but in terms of integrity and just the standard that they have.
What was it like being on the court, actually? I mean, this is something you've dreamed of your entire life. Now you're playing in the NCAA tournament. But like you said, guys you lived with the previous couple of years are on the other side trying to take that all away from you.
Yeah, it was weird a little bit, to be honest with you. You know, I remember Darion Atkins was a starting five, and in the NCAA tournament, they announced one guy from one team and then another, and you kind of shake their hand. And I remember DA was like, oh, yeah, oh, this is weird. And, like, we dapped up for a second and, you know, said what's up. And so that was cool to see them. You know, obviously, as a competitor, you put that aside and you want to win the game. But it was definitely a little weird.
You guys gave them a run for their money, too. Actually, funny story, Jim Nance, when he came on the podcast earlier this year, he actually talked about that week. And that moment is where his really good friendship with Coach Bird began, is he met him there and became so impressed with the way he ran the program. And then you guys go out there and play one of the best teams in the country down to the wire. And he just walked away. Gosh, that guy's a legend. I want to know him better. And that's where their friendship began.
That's really cool. I didn't know that. That's awesome. I'm not surprised, though. I mean, it's cool, you know, to see how often people when they got to be around Coach Bird in our program, just how attractive it was. And that's a testament to what he built, along with so many other people. It really is cool to see, like, wow, like, and they do it the right way. So it's been cool, and I'm glad that I got to be a part of that.
So take me back to your initial college decision. You know, growing up, you're a good high school player, you get recruited heavily, and you decide you want to go to Virginia. And you talk about the similarities of the program, but how did you land on Virginia, and what was the experience like there?
Yeah, I mean, recruiting is wild. Now, shoot, it's way more wild now than it was then. But I originally actually, early on in the fall, I think my senior year, I committed and signed with Central Florida. And what happened was there was, prior to the coaching staff I committed to, there was, you know, some NCAA stuff. And I thought there would be chances of them getting in trouble, and what would that mean for us? And so I ended up getting out of that, and it was the spring of my senior year, and had some different options, and, you know, ended up taking an official visit to Virginia. And at the time, Coach McKay, who's now the head coach at Liberty and has become a mentor to me over the last 10 or so years, he was the one recruiting me. He was the associate head coach. And I talked to Coach Bennett on the phone and started building a relationship with him, and went on an official visit. It was springtime, so it was late. And I was coming off an injury, my ankle. I missed the second half of my senior year, high school season, due to a stress fracture in my ankle. And so I went on the visit, and I ended up committing and signing on the visit in the springtime, my senior year. Man, it was a great experience. I have no bad blood there. I love Coach Bennett. I think he's an amazing guy, a godly man, great coach, obviously Hall of Fame coach. And loved Coach McKay, loved my teammates. I got a lot better. I grew a lot as a person. Also, I mean, I was pushed. And, I mean, I didn't play a lick of defense in high school. And here I was. We were 70% of our practice was defense. So what's funny, a lot of people don't know, is Belmont probably recruited me the hardest coming out of high school. And I remember it was the middle of July, and we had two live periods left for coaches to see us play and hopefully pick up some more scholarship offers. And Coach Bird called me and said, hey, I just want to be honest with you. We really want you, and we have one scholarship left, and it's out to you and Craig Bradshaw, and we want both of y'all, but we don't have two scholarships. And it's kind of first come, first serve. And I was like, okay. So I have a meeting with my dad and a buddy, and Coach Bird calls me back the next day, or the evening of the next day, and says, hey, you know, this is a hard phone call, but Craig ended up taking the scholarship. He took it. And I was kind of devastated. I was like, man, because Belmont is really originally where I wanted to go. So it's cool that, you know, fast forward, I end up transferring, and Craig and I got to be teammates. So it all worked out how it was supposed to.
I'll say it definitely did. You talk about the experience in Virginia. You had a good experience in Virginia, but what made you decide then that you wanted to take the chance at leaving and then obviously go maybe where you should have been in the first place and end up at Belmont?
Yeah, you know, I think Virginia was my highest offer, and I probably played like 10 minutes a game my freshman year, and I think that I would have continued to progress and got better, but you know, I really realized that it takes a lot of effort to play college basketball. I mean, it's a commitment and it's a grind. And, you know, I wanted to play college basketball because I love the game. I love to play. And I think I probably saw myself as playing 10 minutes a game probably my whole career there. You know, I had some dudes in front of me, Malcolm Brogdon, Joe Harris, just some really good players. And, you know, and I didn't love the style of play that we were playing. It's not the most fun, in my opinion, to play in. No knock on that. It wins. It won a national championship.
Yeah.
So, you know, I decided to transfer. And, you know, I knew coming into Belmont, it wasn't like, hey, yeah, you're guaranteed to play 30 minutes a game and start for 3 years or whatever. But obviously, you take a step down in a level, the chance is greater. Obviously, I still had to earn that. Sitting out was tough. Now the kids don't have to do that. But, you know, I'm really glad with the decision I made. I have zero regrets. I love my time at Virginia. I love my time at Belmont even more. And I've got lifelong friends and relationships from it.
Do you have any funny stories about, you know, guarding one of those guys you talk? I mean, I think you had five NBA or future NBA teammates while you were at Virginia. And as you said, you weren't exactly known for your defense. That's what Tony Bennett's program's known for. You have any funny stories from those days?
Man, I remember my freshman year, summer going into my freshman year. You know, we got there early in the summer, and we had Bub Evans, Jontel Evans, and he was a senior point guard, tough as nails, strong. And we were doing ball screen defense one day. We were just one-on-one, you know, and you had to get over the screen, not get rejected. And I just would always just hold on to Bub's jersey, foul him, you know. And one day, I mean, he just lost it. He just, I can't deal with this fouls anymore, you know, because I'm holding on for dear life, you know. So it was just like a shock for me. But it helped me so much in my career. I mean, I got so much better defensively. I mean, guarding Joe Harris every day will make you better. Guarding Malcolm Brogdon will make you better. So just digging in and finding ways to get better defensively was a challenge, but it definitely helped me in my career at Belmont.
When you decided to transfer, was it just obvious that you were coming to Belmont? And you had, I guess you didn't necessarily turn Belmont down because Craig took it first, but they recruited you so hard, they wanted you, didn't get you the first time around. Was it at all hard to make the connection the second time?
No, I mean, once there was an opportunity to go to Belmont, I knew that's where I wanted to go. I mean, it just, I went on multiple visits in high school. I played with the guys in pickup in high school, and, you know, it was pretty close to home. It just felt the style of play. I mean, shooting threes and playing fast. It just, and obviously I had a great respect for Coach Bird and the program. So it was a pretty easy decision.
Well, it certainly turned out, that's for sure. Taylor, you're back in Nashville now, and I don't know how many Belmont fans are aware of what you're up to. What are you doing these days?
Yeah, so we're back in Nashville. My wife and I moved back in May of last year, so we're almost coming on a year back in Nashville. And, you know, I kind of pivoted in my career. I got into coaching. I was at Louisville the last 4 years with Chris Mack, and him and Louisville parted ways, and then, you know, I kind of felt a little bit of stirring in my heart, you know, maybe a pivot coming. And that's what happened. And so I connected with Jeff Walker, his dad went to Belmont. He went to Belmont, and they're huge Belmont fans. And I'm actually working for him now, doing outside sales for Ellsworth Systems. And I've loved doing that. But Casey, Coach Alexander, he when I moved back, was like, hey, would you want to start a Bible study with our players? And I was like, absolutely, I would love that. And I ended up like connecting with Coach Edstrom at Lipscomb and Coach Acuff and Coach Strong, who I played for at Belmont's at Vandy, and, you know, getting talk to Coach Stackhouse about it, and Coach Mance at Trevecca at the time. And I was like, we're just going to invite everybody. And Coach Penny at TSU, I was like, let's just make it like a college basketball player Bible study. So in September, we kicked it off. We started meeting on Sunday nights, and we'll get pizza from about 7 to 7:15, and about 7:15 to 7:45, we'll study, you know, some scripture and talk about it. And it's been so fun. You know, that's why I got into coaching in the first place. What I thought was maybe rejection in the coaching industry, I've now feel is redirection, getting to be around four or five programs at once, versus being around one. So I feel really blessed to be back in Nashville. It's been an easy transition, and that's kind of a little bit of what I'm up to.
One of the things, I know Casey loves that Bible study. He's talked about it multiple times, even at the year-end banquet. He got a little choked up talking about how many guys have stuck through it, because that's a commitment. I mean, you're working on, gosh, 8-9 months now of these guys going through a school year, going through a season, and still showing up on Sunday nights to get into the Word. And that's got to mean a lot to you that you have that level of commitment from so many guys.
Yeah, I told him, I said, hey, you know, just like when you play in a game, you're a participant and the fans are spectators. In this study, you're a participant, not a spectator. And man, they have really owned up to that. And it's been so fun to see growth and see guys committed and be in there every week. And not only that, but just building community. Each guy is around a guy at a different school that's doing the same thing. They're all college basketball players. You know, they all know the struggle and the balance of school and basketball and faith and friends. And so it's been cool to see guys connect from different schools and kind of grow a community in that way.
That's an awesome purpose. And as you said, you're kind of redirecting here, but you started out of your college basketball career as a coach. You went with Chris Mack at Louisville. Obviously you played for two of the best coaches out there. What's Taylor Barnett's coaching philosophy, so to speak?
Man, that's a deep question.
We got time.
No, that's a great question. I really feel fortunate. I mean, Coach Bird, Coach Bennett, Coach Mack. I mean, I have the utmost respect for all three, and they're all different. And I think what I've learned, taken away from Coach Bennett and Coach Bird, is a level of humility that's just incredible. I think back on when I first got to Belmont, and we went over to Coach Bird's for dinner, and I was like, "Where's Coach Bird? Like, we're all here, and Miss Cheryl's there. She's talking to us, and Miss Debbie, and the rest of the staff, and we're up playing, you know, foosball and pool and hanging out." And I'm like, "Where's Coach Bird at? Like, is he coming?" And then I peeked in the window, and he's out there flipping burgers and chicken and hot dogs for us in like 95 degree humid weather. And I was like, "Man, that guy wants to serve his team like that. Like, I don't feel like I have to play for him. I want to play for a guy like that." And you know, so I think that in order to like really get players' attention and for them to know, or for them to care how much you know, you have to show them how much you care. And I think just serving guys is the number one philosophy that I have, you know, if I was a head coach, and showing guys that you really care about them as people. I think basketball is an unbelievable tool to build relationships. And that's what it first and foremost should be. Not a transactional program, but a transformational program is what I believe in. And the basketball will come. It really will. You know, you have to tweak that or recruit to what you want to do. But you have to tweak it in terms of your personnel. You can't just do the same thing with the same guys if they're not capable of doing it. You have to really know what each guy is good at and put them in a position to succeed. And then you got to get guys really playing together and wanting to win together. And I think that just takes hard work, and it takes guys getting outside themselves, defining their roles, but getting them to accept their roles. You know, Lenny Acuff at Lipscomb said something that I thought was so profound. He said, "Role definition is easy, but role acceptance is really hard." And if you can really get guys to buy into their role, and clearly define it, and then get them to love it, man, I think that's the key to winning.
Oh my gosh, that's so good. And it is true so much. I mean, people don't realize how much time a college basketball team spends together. And not just like in January when you're playing a couple games a week and you're practicing and all that, but in June and July and September, before it really gets going, before the fun really begins, you've got to do all of that. To come back to Nashville and be around the program, like, how much do you appreciate still being a part of Belmont basketball, like these current guys and the relationships you've formed with them?
It's been such a blessing. You know, I haven't been able to be a part of it the last few years because I've been with a different program full time. So to be back in Nashville, and I mean, first off, to see the new practice facility, I'm like, man, you guys got it good over here.
Yeah.
But just to be around those guys and, hey, I've been in your shoes. How can I help you? How can I give myself away, my experience away, you know, has been a lot of fun for me. And Coach Alexander has been so welcoming. I've known him for a long time. And just to be able to stop by when I can and just watch practice, you know, he's actually included me on a couple free throw shooting drills at the end of practice, which has been fun.
There were some moments this year we needed you to shoot free throws, by the way.
Hey, I hear you, man. Free throws are tough, man. But it's been a blessing. I'm thrilled to be back around the program and just to see how the character and the integrity has stayed the same. I mean, Belmont really, it just feels like a set apart program and just a different kind of place. And I think that that's such a testament for just the commitment level of Coach Bird and the staff for years.
I want to pick into that a little bit more in just a second, but back up to the Louisville experience, because we started this talking about the highest of highs and you hitting that shot to win a conference championship and go to the NCAA tournament. But life is about the highs and the lows. And I think especially when you're a man of faith, it's how you navigate that with a Christ focused life that is really what it's all about and how you live on this world. What was it like going through that experience at Louisville? Because I'll be honest, I thought Louisville hiring Chris Mack was a home run. I think he's a phenomenal coach. I think what he did at Xavier was incredible. And I am stunned it did not work out at Louisville for whatever reason. To go through it and to be a part of it, not living up to the expectation you thought, and then ultimately being a part of the staff that was let go. Yeah. How did you navigate that? How difficult was it? And how did you rely on that faith in that moment?
Yeah, man, that's a great question. And man, Coach Mack is awesome. He's an amazing coach, but he, it sounds cliche, but he's an even better dude. I mean, he's an awesome husband and dad. He treats everyone with respect, from the manager to me to whoever. He's just a really good dude, another humble leader that cares about people. And we don't have to get into I don't want to get into, all the weeds of Louisville and how all that shook out. It was an uphill battle there for him. But to be a part of a season where, the coach and the university split halfway through and we got an interim head coach and we got to bring these dudes to the finish line. And then at the tail end of that, you're figuring out, okay, what's next in life? I'd be lying to you if I didn't say it's really hard. And, a couple of things come to mind. I think that for one, I wanted my wife and I to really grow in our marriage in that time, but also for us to cling to the Lord and just say, okay, God, we trust you. And I think that it's easy to say you trust God or I trust God when things are going great in life. But man, I feel like your trust really has opportunity to grow when things are tough. And so not knowing where we were going to live, what we'd be doing, and there was so much unknown, I felt like the Lord really, really brought us to the end of the rope and, hey, do you trust me? Do you trust me? I spent a lot of time on prayer walks, walking through my neighborhood, just talking to the Lord, really spent a lot of time in scripture. Think about, Philippians, don't be anxious about anything, but pray about everything. I think about the parable when Jesus is saying, don't worry about anything. If I provide for the birds of the air, won't I provide for you? And those are a couple passages that stand out as I speak. And he did, it was hard, but I felt like our marriage grew. I felt like both of my wife and I, our faith individually and our trust in God grew. And that's most important. And I don't feel like our marriage or our individual faith would be as strong if we didn't go through that. But relying on the Holy Spirit to help us keep the perspective, the right perspective during that time was key. Cause it's really easy to, in a situation like that, to get angry or grow bitter or let the enemy or the lies come in and set root in my mind and heart. But I'm thankful. I really am. There was a flood of blessing from the Lord at the end of that season. And I mean, to think, looking back now to where we are, is just like, wow. Like, God, you knew what you were doing. And he's faithful. But sometimes it just takes going through hard times to grow our faith and trust in him. So I appreciate you asking that question. And it was hard, but it was worth it.
Wow, that's an amazing testimony. And I can't think of a better person that God anointed to be in the position you are now to touch so many lives. and talk about it and help them go through seasons and trials that are difficult. You talked early on in this when you were talking about looking at Virginia and Coach McKay and him being a man of faith and what that meant to you, and then your time at Belmont and now. Where did your faith journey begin? How have you developed this deep faith? Because it goes back years, at least.
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, my parents are people of faith, and they're faithful. And I think there's a real difference between religion and relationship. And, you know, I grew up, I went to a Christian school, we went to church, and I feel like in my head, I've always known who Jesus is, you know, who God is, the Holy Spirit, you know, the Bible, you know, what the different passages are, you know, and I feel like I was always doing the church things, right? But I would say like the tail end of my high school into college was when it kind of went from my head to my heart, you know, where you're like, wow, I don't just have to go to church, or I don't have to read the Bible. Like, I want to. I think it clicked for me, like, when I realized what the Lord has done for us, that he really did send Jesus, and that I need a savior. And the only way to eternal life is through Jesus and faith in him. You it's kind of like that moment with Coach Bird. I don't have to play for him. I want to play for him. It's this moment of out of gratitude, like, wow, I don't have to do these things, but I want to do these things. I want to be in relationship with the Lord because of what he's done for me. And now I just realized, wow, this makes sense. He's my creator. He's given me true purpose in life through his son, Jesus. And following Jesus is the best way to life here on earth and for eternity. And it just struck different, you know, as you grow, it's a journey, right? But yeah, there's these different moments, you know, and you gotta, I think it's really important that you mark the progress. And walking is winning when it comes to faith. You're walking in the direction of the Lord and walking with the Lord. So it's just become more and more relational to me, you know, and I'm just super grateful. I try to live simply, man, love God, love people, and go and make disciples. The great commandments and the great commission. And I still make a ton of mistakes, and I'm not perfect by any means, but I want people, you know, I just want people to know the Lord, because I know what he's doing in my life and what he's done for me.
Well, the journey is never finished, at least in this life, and you're never perfect. Yep. Only he is. And so, I mean, that's quite the testimony to grow up in that. I think, Taylor, I'm curious how you view this now, based off of the places you've been. I tell people all the time that I knew from the get-go in Nashville that there was something different about Belmont. You could just tell. The people were different. The atmosphere was different. You could see it from the outside, but it really struck home to me when I got to be closer to the program and to do play-by-play and be on campus as much as I am. Now you see it from the inside. And one of the things I've really realized over the last couple of years is, and I really appreciate this, is Belmont is it's a Christ-centered school, but it doesn't impose that on its students. It very much allows them to grow up on their own timetable and, frankly, with their own agendas while on campus. But it is striking to me how many people in positions of leadership there, from the president on down, have that focus in their own heart. And I think they're making decisions that make it a very Christ-filled campus for all their students to make their own decisions. And again, this isn't to put down any other school you're at. I'm sure Virginia's lovely. I'm sure people at Louisville are lovely and all that. But as you've moved around and checked out these different places, from recruiting visits in high school to playing to coaching in college, and you come back to Belmont, how would you describe the university? And is there any place like
it? Yeah, I agree with you, man. Like, it really is a special place. And I think I mentioned at the banquet of it being a godly place, because I believe the leadership has a relationship with God and is following Jesus, and that trickles down. And yeah, I mean, college, man, it is such a pivotal time, you know, and it's, I mean, even my own experience, you know, you're under the umbrella of your parents and your household, and then you go out on your own and you start to discover, what do I really believe? And I was fortunate, you know, Coach Bennett is a Christ following man, a God fearing man. He's awesome. And there was some great student ministries there. And then you get to Belmont, and I mean, it really is just such a place where there's godly people, and it's attractive. You're like, man, like, I want to be like him, or I want to be like her. Why would Coach do this? Why would they do this? And then it starts to click, like, oh, you know, they care about you. They love you. And because they do, that's out of a place for where they love the Lord. And so I just think it really is a unique place. I think there's so much opportunity to grow. I think as a student athlete there, the athletic department at Belmont, they care about students so much. I mean, they really do. I remember just being able to walk through there and be able to talk to every single person who works in the athletic department. Just so loving and kind and encouraging. And so it's just a place where people love to work. They love their job because they love people. And, you know, like you said, I think it really does stem from because they love the Lord. And, you know, not everybody there does. Like you said, it's not imposing, but there's plenty of opportunity. I mean, they're taking their student athletes on mission trips. Been doing it for years. I mean, how cool is that? So there's just good people, man. And I'm grateful that I got to experience a lot of those good people.
Well, there's a lot of people over there that are grateful to have you back. That's for sure. I got three questions I ask everybody that we'll get to in a second, but I got to know first, is it true that you almost didn't come back and you almost took a job on Steve Prohm's staff at Murray State? And if you did, would that have been your biggest regret in life?
I did go to his press conference. You know, it's funny. I went to his press conference, and he's a great guy. I mean,
he's awesome.
His heart, I mean, his love for the Lord. I mean, he's a great dude. And I went to his press conference just like, you know what? I'm going to go. And we had been texting a little bit prior to that. And, you know, it's funny. He brought up the shot. He's like, man, I just don't know if I can ever get that out of my head. You know, that's a big moment in his coaching career. Still got the job at Iowa State. But, you know, I was definitely in a time of, okay, I'm open-minded to, you know, but he kind of already had his staff in mind and what he was going to do. And that's all good. It wouldn't have been my biggest regret. No. Obviously there would have been some banter for sure. Me and Coach Alexander and other folks. That's not how it worked out. But I mean, he's awesome. I have a lot of respect for Coach Prohm, and I hope he does well in his second stint, just as well as he did in his first.
All right. Well, final three questions on Taylor. Again, I ask these to everybody because they're more generic, but I think everybody has their own answer, and it tells you a little bit more about your story and how you got there and what makes you tick in life. And so the first one is, and we've talked a little bit about your entire career progression here, but if you weren't coaching and you weren't, I guess, doing what you're doing now in Nashville and the combination of sales and obviously the ministry work, and you had to do it all over and pick a profession out of school, what do you think you'd be doing?
Man, that's a great question. Two things come to mind. Maybe full-time ministry within the local church, or do something in real estate. You know, have maybe a bunch of properties down the beach or something.
That's not bad.
Yeah, so I don't know. Those are the first two things that come to mind.
Okay. Second question is, what inspires you? When that alarm goes off in the morning and you got to get up and go and do all the things that make the world tick for Taylor Barnett, what helps you get out of bed? What inspires you each day?
That's a great question. Man, I really do just, I love life, man. I try to like live by the philosophy, enjoy life, make the most of every day. And I see it as an opportunity to get out of bed. I start my morning with a cup of coffee on the front porch, usually reading in scripture. And, you know, just, Lord, what do you have for me today? You know, help me glorify you. I think following Jesus gives purpose to every aspect of my life, you know? And so just, man, it sounds cliche maybe to say as a Christian, but really it's the great commandments and the great commission that inspires my every day. And then, you know, me and my wife have so much fun together. So just, you know, trying to be a better husband. It definitely inspires my day. And just having fun, man. I want to make the most of life. It's short.
Well, those are great words to live by and things to be inspired by. The last one you can really take any way you want. You can have fun with it if you'd like. And that's, I sort of put it under the big umbrella for people as like guilty pleasure, if you will. But when you get that moment, you know, maybe you accomplish something at work, you get a big sale, or I mean, heck, it could be an anniversary. It could be the night you relive that you made that shot back in 2015. Whatever it is, when you get that moment to just do something for you, is that like Netflix with your wife? Is it, I don't know if you guys like wine, or, you know, is it going on a trip? Like, what's the thing that allows Taylor Barnett to get away from it all?
Yeah, you know, me and my wife, you know, we've taken a couple trips, which has been a lot of fun. So that would be, I'll give you maybe a grand. We'll maybe her and I will take a trip to Italy or something. You know, that would be a lot of fun. I haven't been there. But man, this is very specific. I love the game of golf. My favorite sport is basketball overall, but my favorite, you know, sport to now play is golf. You know, I just turned 30. Every time I play basketball, I'm feeling a little more in my knees and my hips, you know. But if my wife and I could go down and she caddies 18 holes for me at Augusta National, man, that would be a bucket list item for me. So there you go. That's very specific. The Masters just happened, so it's on my mind. But that'd be I love being outside and playing the game of golf.
I am a terrible golfer, but I appreciate those who play it well and wish I had more time to try to get better at it. But I'll tell you what, Taylor, I went down for the Masters this year for work, and it was unlike anything I've ever experienced. It was definitely on my bucket list, along with all these other things you see behind me of things to go to. But yeah, it lived up to every expectation and then some. It was awesome.
That's so cool. And I mean, you went on a year where, shoot, wasn't like play delayed like twice, or it was, I mean, both 2 days in a row it stopped early, right?
Yeah. And it was now still, I was there early in the week. It was all the practice rounds. So we actually had probably the best weather of the entire week.
Yeah.
And never saw a shot that actually mattered. But it was so, I mean, to see all the guys up close and personal and be in the press conferences and just walk around the place. I mean, I think you could walk around that place with no golf being played and have a great afternoon.
I believe it. Yeah, I got to make it happen, man. I got to get down there.
I hope you get there. I hope that dream comes true for you, like the shot back in 2015. We'll finish it there the way we started. But, Taylor, thanks so much, man. It's great to have you back in Nashville. You're truly doing the Lord's work, and I know so many people appreciate that. This was a lot of fun for me to catch up, so thanks.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me on, and I'm glad that you're a part of Belmont's family now, man. It's really cool to see you.